Hello and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
Pray. Bless us, Lord. Teach us in Christ's name. Amen. To our visitors, I'm coming to the end of a series of sermons on stewardship. This morning I preached 28A. You're getting ready to hear 28B. And the next Sabbath we'll continue talking about this subject, the Sabbath, under the theme, you better get ready. The sermon I preached for first service this morning, you'll hear for second service next week. And the sermon I'm preaching for second service today, they'll hear for first service next week. That way the whole congregation will be on the same page with your pastor, because there are some issues reverberating concerning the seventh day Sabbath that need to be dealt with, because some of us are allowing our minds to be polluted with biblical foolishness. I was moved in this direction by a sermon that was sent to me, a sermon preached by Dr. T.D. Jakes back in November. An eloquent, picturesque, sermon. And as I listened to it, I said, how many of my own members would be able to cleave through the falsity in this sermon? And that's why you must hear the sermon this morning, next Sabbath afternoon. And I will play you a clip of the sermon from Dr. T.D. Jakes. You'll have two preachers next week. One who is verbally eloquent, the other who just preaches this Bible like it's written. Let's pray. Help me, Lord. Amen. Much has happened recently that affects something very dear to many of you in this room. The thing affected is the seventh day Sabbath, my precious children. The Sabbath is and should be precious to Sabbath keepers. And so let's take a few moments, take your Bible. I've asked the team not to write the text on the screen. Use your Bible. Let's review quickly some of the key texts, Meshach, that we lean on. Steve, sorry for the death of your uncle. You and Joan, so sorry. Let's look at some of these texts. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, the first mention of the Sabbath in the Bible. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, and you're joining me there in reading, everybody, thus Genesis 1, it's the first book in the Bible, folk. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, let's read. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the God ended his work which he had made, and he from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. The text is very clear. The blessed sanctified day, the seventh day, was made a rest day. God rested, then blessed, or the Hebrew says, breathed on it, then sanctified it, and the blessing and the rest and the sanctification are in the day. You didn't follow that. On all the other days, God made something that could be seen and heard and smelled and tasted or touched. But on the seventh day, God made only a day and then put into the day certain qualities. So there's nothing I do that makes the Sabbath holy. It is holy. That's why the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you keep something holy, it's already holy when you get it. So it's not my going to church. It's not my not going to the stores. It's not what I... The Sabbath, there's holiness in the fabric of the day. Holy day. Sanctified day. You can do whatever you big enough to do on the day. You just trampling on a holy day. Nor can you do enough on any other day to make it holy. And so in Exodus 20 and verse 8, go there, the Bible clearly says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Maintain it. When it arises, when the sun sets on Friday evening, that first second after the sun sets is holy. It's in the day. Turn to somebody and say, it's in the day. The sanctification is in the day. It's in the day. When you first inhale on the first second of the Sabbath, you inhale holy air. Come on, somebody. So this holiness... This holiness is in the day. And the Lord made it that way. So he said, when I hand it to you, keep it like I gave it to you. Now, according to the passages we've read thus far, God's very specific. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And then over in Genesis, when he got done creating things, then he blessed the seventh day. Very specific. Now, the specificity of the Sabbath is God's choice. He could have made any day holy he wanted. And then what the Lord did, he took the Sabbath and put it in his law. It's the fourth commandment. Now, this suggests to me, Honey Sue, something very interesting. Because the Ten Commandments are about how we should live. And if the fourth commandment is in the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are about how we should live, then the fourth commandment has something to do with the quality of our life. So there's something in the day that we need. I'm gonna bring it back to you. So he puts it in his law, and look what he does. Exodus 31:18. Quickly. Exodus 31:18. Look what he does. Would help me if I would leave Genesis and get into Exodus 31:18. See that? Read. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, what? Two tables of testimony, tables of stone, what? Written with the finger of God. So then he writes it himself in the law. Puts it there himself. And it was so precious that when he came down, Moses, with the commandments, remember, and they were having a disco party at the bottom of the mountain, and Moses got upset. It's in the Bible. It didn't say disco, but it's in the Bible. And Moses got upset and raised the tablets up, remember, and threw them down. Broke them. Now, this thing is so special to God, Chris. He did not say to Moses, read it, Exodus 34. He didn't say to Moses, look, you remember what I wrote?
Right.
He didn't say that. Look at Exodus 34, verse 1. You're reading with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. And who will write? Who? God said, you break the tablets. You fix that. But I wrote the law. I'll fix that. Come on, somebody. And so second again, he writes the law and puts that Sabbath in there. So between the breaking of the tablets and the going back up the mountain, God did not change his mind about the 7-day Sabbath. Put it right back in the law the second time. And then, to be sure he was serious, he waited 2,000 years and then showed up himself. John 1:1-3. John 1:1-3. I can't wait on you. In the beginning was the Word. Are you there? And the Word was with God. And the Word, the same was in the beginning with God. Now read verse 3 clearly. All things were made by him. So the Jesus who came, the Word, verse 14 of that same chapter, the Jesus, Jordan, who came to this earth is the same Jesus who made the first week and made the Sabbath. Do you see that? It's in the Bible. So the God who made the Sabbath, the God who made the first week, now shows up on earth in human form. Well, what does he do? Maybe in the 2,000 years, something happened. It changed. It got lost. God changed his mind. So what does Jesus do? Luke 4:16. I can't wait on you. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the what? Sabbath day and did what? It was his habit to be in church on the Sabbath day. Jesus. His habit to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, then he dies, Deborah Sanford, and goes back to heaven. Maybe after that, something happened. But Hebrews 4, go there. Hebrews 4, what happened after Jesus left? Hebrews 4, it was a discussion some kind of way. So in Hebrews 4, Melvin, God says, let me tell you how things are. Hebrews 4, verse 4, you're reading with me. For he spake, I need everybody reading. For he spake in a certain place of the... The discussion of Hebrews 4 is the what day? And this is after Jesus has been buried, has resurrected, gone back to heaven. Now we know he made it in Genesis, and we know that he wants us to still keep it because we saw that in Deuteronomy, and we know that he kept it when he was here because we saw that in John and in Luke. But the issue is when he went back, did he change his mind? Well, the discussion is going on in Hebrews 4. He's talking about what in Hebrews 4? You just read it. What is he talking about? And then he refers to Genesis. And what does he say? And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So he's tying in the same seventh day that God made at first. He's now discussing in Hebrews 4,000 years later. I'll just celebrate by myself. Hallelujah! All right, so what do you feel about this same seventh day that you were a part of, God, back in Genesis, verse 5? And in this place again, everybody's reading, and in this place again, if they shall enter to my rest. Now he's getting... Da, 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 da. There's some tension here. I made it, but some folks are not entering into the rest. See, let me explain something to you. When he made the day, he put into it holiness. He put into it sanctification. He put into it blessing. And then on Friday evening, he hands it to you. He says, but some folk I'm handing it to are not entering into it. I'm giving rest, they're not receiving rest. I'm giving peace, they're not receiving peace. I'm giving freedom from the pressures of this life, but they're not taking advantage of the gift. Verse 6. Reading. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. There's a few folk have not yet gotten the point. Rest is coming. When is it coming? Sundown Friday. It's on its way. But some have not entered in. Keep reading. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He's taking you back to Exodus 16, Gary, where after he gave them the Sabbath, counted it out with manna, manna on Sunday, manna on Monday, manna on Tuesday, manna on Wednesday, manna on Thursday, manna on Friday. No manna on Sabbath. And he told them, don't go out on Sabbath trying to gather your bread. And sure enough, some went out there. So in verse 23 of Exodus 16, he says, how long, Lord help me, refuse ye to keep my Sabbaths? He's referring to that in Hebrews 4. So the ones I first gave it to, they didn't enter in. And there's some I'm giving it to now, they're not entering in. So when the Sabbath comes, you're supposed to shuck all the stuff. Let your mind be at peace. Turn off that confounded TV. Get rid of that stereo. Unless you got some good religious music on it. Fold away your magazines that tell you about all the murders and rapes. Put them aside, he says. Get rid of the iPods and B pods and V pods and Z pods. Get rid of them. Pastor's gone crazy now. Get rid of all that stuff. Find peace in the word. Peace in your music. Peace in your mind. Tell them bill collectors to leave you alone for the next 24 hours. Suck on it. I ain't giving you no money. Sabbath time. Rest is being offered. Rest is what I'm getting. I'm going to keep my rest. Enjoy my rest. Nobody's going to mess up my rest. He said, but some would not enter in. Verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, what? Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye... You see, Branch, we have used this text over the years out of context. We use this text to tell people they're rejecting the Lord. But this text is used in context of the Sabbath. It's a Sabbath discussion. And he's saying today, that is, Sabbath day, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's saying, I keep on trying to tell you, I got something for you. It's rest and peace, but your head's so hard. You don't get it. So you're still cleaning your house after the sun sets. Cooking and heating and stuff. That's why he gave you a day called the preparation day. The get ready day. Sun sets. Walk out that kitchen, sis. Walk on out of it. Get your head held high. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Free at last. Phone rings. Go to that ID. See if somebody wants money. Your conscience is clear. Not going to pick that thing up. Now you owe money. Not going to pick that thing up. Let them call me on Monday when the Sabbath is over. Because right now, I'm in my rest. I'm enjoying this sermon all by myself. Yes, sir. So the Bible is very clear, but he's not done. Verse 8, we're answering the question, what happened to the rest after he went back to glory? Verse 8, 4, come on. Then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? The text is saying, Sonia, if he had another day in mind, if there was another rest day in mind, I'd have told you. Well, he didn't tell us. So what's the result? Verse 9, read it. There remaineth therefore a rest. Come on, somebody. The rest is still here. Seventh day, still here. Rest has not changed. So this rest is still here. Put that green stuff on the screen now. So when I send my notes, quotes are in green. Put it up there. Read. Come on. Ho. You downstairs folk, read this thing. Let's read. As God's original purpose for this world, his rest remains how? unchanged. The seventh day Sabbath, the day of rest, he established to be a memorial of creation, and thus a reminder of his purpose in the creation of the world. Likewise remains unchanged. Keep reading. The observance of the Sabbath day, Sabbath, thus testifies not only to faith in God as creator of all things, but also to his faith in his power to transform the life and qualify men and women for entering into the eternal rest he originally intended for the inhabitants of the earth. See, when the Sabbath comes, Dionysia, God is doing more than giving you a day. He wants to work on you. He wants to transform you. He wants you to leave church on Sabbath feeling better than you came in. He wants you to walk out with courage that the stuff that got you last week will not get you this coming week. Come on, somebody. This is a transforming day. God works on you this day. In fact, you know, I didn't put it in here. Ellen White makes a statement that the devil looks over the shoulder of the preacher to see what he's going to preach, and then works on certain people to make sure they don't come that Sabbath. So if you got a headache last night or this morning, God didn't want you to hear this, but you came on anyhow. Give yourself a hand. Praise God! Praise God. I'm not done. Not done. Let's keep reading. Last part. Last part. Last part. The Sabbath thus bears witness both to the creative and to the sanctifying power of God, and its observance is an acknowledgement of faith in his power to create and to recreate. There are two kinds of rest you need, you know. The rest of the day, the rest, the day. Oh, I love it when Sabbath comes. Just relax, relax. See, I even let the problems that I have in my head about you all, I let them go on Friday night. Yeah, y'all ain't going to kill my Sabbath. No, sirree. I'm at peace. I know your wife is acting up, but I'm at peace on Sabbath. I know your kids ain't got no sense, but I'm at peace on Sabbath. I ain't worried about it on Sabbath. I know your job maybe, but I'm on the Sabbath. See, I need rest too. Peace, rest. Pastors need the Sabbath. Everybody needs the Sabbath. Don't let nobody rob you of your Sabbath. See, even those folk you didn't speak to all week, God will make sure you bump into them on Sabbath at CPC. Then because you're free in Jesus, you can speak to them. May ignore them next Monday, but speak to them on Sabbath. Sabbath sets you free. Set you free. Devil's messing with you. He hates this sermon. But that's all right. Devil ain't worth squat. You know he's going to hell, don't you? That's the one thing, that's the one entity in life that you can say to go to hell and you're not sinning. The devil.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah. I like that.
All right, come on, sound team. Help me out. Yeah. Help me out. Put the thing behind my ear. The little funny shaped ears. Put them out there. Yeah, okay. Now, to show you how serious God is about this Sabbath thing, go to Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. This Sabbath's a bad boy. It remains. We saw that. Didn't we see, young man, in Hebrews that it remains? It remains. We saw it with our own eyes. It remains. We read that thing with our own eyes. It remains, Kelly. Now, let me show you something else. Isaiah 66. You better get used to this Sabbath. It's going to be around a long time. Let me show it to you. You got to get in this Sabbath thing because it's here with us. Isaiah 66. Look at verse 22. Ready? Read. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall be, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Verse 23, everybody. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come. Where is this going to take place? In the new earth. Alberty, you and Kim and them boys, you ain't never not going to have Sabbath in your life. See, because Sabbath is a connective thing. Connects me to my roots. My roots. My God. Because the Sabbath, I know I came from God. Not from mammals. Not from monkeys. Not from amoebas. Not from the primordial slime. Not from the Big Bang, but from a God who said, let there be, and there was. So we're always going to have Sabbath. Now, what's the issue? What is the issue? I told you at the beginning of this sermon that much has happened recently that challenges this Sabbath. See, the fourth commandment says, do what with it? That's enough. Remember. And somehow God knew, Kathy Vest, that the stewardship of the Sabbath, the maintaining of His chosen plan of rest, both literal and symbolic, would be challenged. So what are some of these events that are challenging LaJuan Weidman this Sabbath? Now, the reason why the Bible says remember the Sabbath day is because there would be a forgetting. And this is proven by the fact that most nominal Christians, even some fine people sitting here today, worship on the first day of the week. They believe it's the Sabbath. We'll talk more about that next Sabbath for the second service. They believe that Sunday is the Sabbath, the Lord's day, even though Mark 2:28 says God is the Lord of the Sabbath. You got to understand that the only day in the New Testament ever called the Sabbath is the seventh day. In fact, the first day is only mentioned 9 times in the entire Bible. Did you know that? Once in the Old and 8 in the New. And never is the first day ever referred to as Sabbath anywhere in Scripture. The first and leading proponent of Sunday as the Sabbath is the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that's not an accusation against them. That is their testimony. The Catholic Church itself teaches. Let's read. What is the question? Which is the Sabbath day? Now, this is from the catechism that they use to teach their converts. So I'm not attacking or blaming or accusing. I'm simply reading from their documents. The question, read the question again. What is the Sabbath day? What is the answer of the Catholic Church? Saturday is the Sabbath day. Pause. That's their answer. See, even T.D. Jakes in his sermon says that technically the seventh day is the Sabbath. I'm quoting him exactly. Now, since I heard the sermon, I'm still trying to figure out what a technical Sabbath is. That's what he says. I'm continuing to read from the Catholic Catechism. Question, read. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Read. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the transfer the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. That's what they say. Thank you, John. Thank you. Okay. So they claim the change. In fact, the Catholic Church owns the day. They own the day. Let me show you further. The next quote. Again from the Catholic Catechism. Ready? Question? Read. Have you any other way of proving that the Catholic Church has power to institute festivals of precept? See, they're being challenged. Where do you get the authority to form festivals and special days? Well, they say, here's our proof. Here's their answer. Read their answer. Had she not such power, she could not have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day, a change for which there is no scriptural authority. I'm reading from the Catholic Catechism. So the issue of the Sabbath, in terms of its identification, is agreed upon by even those who don't keep it. See, any time you're talking to a person who observes Sunday, and they try to argue it biblically, understand that they have not studied. Because the leaders of their own churches know that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and that day is Saturday. And the largest Christian organization that keeps the first day of the week says clearly, Saturday is the Sabbath, it is the seventh day, and the only reason why we're dealing with Sunday is because we did it. That book speaks for 900 million Sunday worshipers. Let's keep going. We said, well, Pastor, I'm still looking for, what are the challenges? On September 9, when did I say? 2007, Pope Benedict the 16th declared at a mass in Vienna, Austria, the following. Put his quotes up here. Read, without Sunday worship, we cannot live. This is the head of that 900 million people. Read the statement again. Without Sunday worship, we cannot live. Keep reading. We're quoting directly from his sermon now. Give the soul to Sunday. Give Sunday its soul. Now read this next statement with me. Warning against the evils of allowing Sunday to become just a part of the weekend, the Pope said people need to have a spiritual focus during the first day of the week, or else leisure time will just become what kind of time? Wasted time. Let's keep with the quotes. We're still quoting from the Pontiff. Together, Sunday worship, he warned, was not just a precept to be casually adhered to, but a necessity. How many people? All people. He believes that you need it. All people. Keep reading. The Pope has been very vocal about Europe's Christian or Catholic roots and is pushing to have them included in the European Constitution. The European Union is now writing a constitution, and one of the high officials of the Catholic Church sits on that constitutional committee. And once written into the European Constitution, a law demanding the sanctity of the Sunday Sabbath, which the Catholic Church invented. Now that's just one event. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been preaching accurately for over 150 years, based on Revelation 13, that the day will come when this nation will combine with other powers and seek to build an image to the beast. In that same chapter, it identifies the power that would do this. Now, that's not the sermon today. We know as Seventh-day Adventists from studying the Bible and the writings of Ellen G. White, I don't apologize for using her name, that the day will come when this country will push a national Sunday law. But what you forget is, when that happens, probation is closed. He that is unjust shall be unjust still. He that is righteous shall be righteous still. There will be no salvation after that law. So you can't wait around until it happens to get yourself together. When that happens, whatever you are, you will be. Whatever you're doing, you'll keep doing. After Judge Rory Moore was forced to remove the Ten Commandments monument in Montgomery, Alabama, Pat Robertson published a book entitled The Ten Offenses. In that book, he devoted an entire chapter to the issue of the Fourth Commandment. In that chapter, he argues that Sunday laws should be a federal matter. Now, my sermon next week, I'll show you how close we are to that. You will see next week that every state in this nation but two has Sunday laws on the books that can be enforced today. See, some of us are still saying, well, you know, that's far in the distance, you know, naturalism and all that. That's way down the line. In this state, we're worshiping in now, Virginia. There's a law in the books that says, if you're not in church on Sunday, you can be whipped. That law's never been canceled. The United States government moved away from such federal laws in 1961. But many states still have such laws. And so the Bible, got to close out now. Just tantalizing your mind. So we got to steward the rest. And you need to want the purpose of this sermon is simply say, your rest is being challenged. Do not sit comfortably in CPC and think you're going to come here ad infinitum as long as you feel like it. You do live in a country that will change its own nature. That's why when describing it, the Bible says in Revelation 13, it's a lamb that will speak like a dragon. And if there is a country on the face of the planet, Don Powell, that says one thing and does another, it's this one. And if you don't understand that, you really got your head stuck in the sand. Talks peace, makes war. The Christian world at large has long rejected God's seventh-day rest as a necessity. But as the Catholic Church honestly states, there is no scripture for Christians to reject the seventh-day Sabbath. And Jesus agrees. Look at Matthew 5, 17 through 19. Let's finish by reading some text from the Bible. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. This is old-time Adventist stuff, Seeley. But this is the kind of stuff that our church is known for. Nobody else can preach this kind of sermon, folk. But members of this church, whom God called to be His remnant people, to sound the alarm. And you better understand that in 2008, this preacher will be sounding the alarm. Matthew 5, starting with verse 17. Jesus! Damon is talking. Who's talking? Ah! Read the text. Come on. Think not. No, you can't go by think not. No, think not. That's Jesus talking. He's making a statement. He's drawing a line in the sand. Don't you even think. I like the Greek better. Greek says, don't dare think. We would say today, don't you let it into your mind.
That's right.
Think not. Come on, read. That I am come to destroy the law. What did we find in the law? The Sabbath. So he's taking a stand on the Sabbath. Think not that I am... See, they were accusing him. They said, you're loose. You're not tight on the law. Jesus said, excuse me. Don't let it enter your mind that I'm come to destroy the law. Or what? I'm not come to destroy, but to do what? Fulfill. Make clear. Make plain. Keep reading. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth, one jot or one shall then pass from the law till all be full. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so. Pause on that. So when I wrote my letter to T.D. Jakes last month, I challenged him on some clear issues. I asked him to explain to me what does it mean by technically the 7 days of the Sabbath? I want to know, Derek, what technical Sabbath is. Teach men to do so. Keep reading. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That means he won't be there. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom. of heaven. See, even the followers of Jesus close to him after he died, Keith Bramble, had no idea that there was any change in the Sabbath. You remember Luke 23, don't you? Well, go over there and look at it then. Luke 23, 55 and 56, you remember this. This is the day after the crucifixion. Surely his best buddies, if he had made a change in the Sabbath, surely his best buddies, women going to dress his body up so he can die right. These people surely should have known something. But the Bible says in Luke 23 and verse 55, you see it?
Yes.
Well, read. And the women also, which came with him, with Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre, how his body was laid. He died on good. He died on good. And he rose on Easter. How many days between them 2 days? Everybody knows that. So verse 56, what did they do? And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to what?
Commandment.
What commandment? Fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. So Jesus hadn't told them nothing.
That's right.
They're still keeping it.
That's right.
Man's dead.
Right.
Close buddies.
Yep.
Still keeping it.
Yep.
Sad, sorry, broken up, but they're keeping it. And then when you read the book of Acts, take these texts down. I don't have time to read these texts. Acts 13, 14, and 42, and 44. Put them on the screen, folks. Acts 13, 14, 42, and 44. Acts 16, 13. Acts 17, 2. Acts 18, 1, 2, and 4. What's going on in those texts? I'll tell you, Todd, what's going on in those texts. The apostles, Jesus' best buddies, are still keeping the Sabbath. Not just meeting with Jews, but meeting with Jews and Gentiles. It's in the Bible. How come Jesus didn't tell them the thing was changed? They had no knowledge. Dr. Jakes refers to Acts 27, where it says they were meeting on the first day. Well, just a little reasoning. Just a little reasoning. He preached till midnight. Which means they were meeting on Saturday night. Saturday night would be the first day. Evening and morning were a day. Otherwise, you said that the man preached from Sunday morning to Sunday night at midnight. That don't make no sense. Even Paul can't preach like that. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that God has never changed his mind about his rest. He has protected his rest. And so the Sabbath still remains. Let's close now. Start playing something over here. You walked in this morning. Stay with me now. Came this afternoon. Sweet thing. Devil beating you on the head all during the week. Talk to me. Some of us work with crazy, insane people. Don't you? Sit across the desk from you, on the other side of them partitions. Yeah, they play crazy music. Don't they? Foul language. Yeah, your mind's all messed up. And then some of you got debts. Yeah, you got debts. Folks calling you, hassling you, threatening you. Some of you don't park your car outside. Let somebody come and borrow from you overnight. Take it back where it's supposed to be. Because you ain't paying for it. Go and tell the truth. Scared to leave your car in the parking lot. Lest you have no way to get your groceries home. Behind 4 months in your payments. That's pressure. You know it's pressure. Some of you live in situations where your marriages are not doing good at all. That's pressure. Keep your eyes straight forward now. That's pressure. Pressure. Yeah, you don't look forward to going home. Drive around the block several times. Trying to get yourself together. Pressure. God says, I know how they're going to live. So I'm going to give them Sabbath. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Let me show you how precious this day is. How good and sweet this day is. What God had in mind for you. Put that last quote up there. They did some research. They did some research. And they found out that the Sabbath has its own power. Literally. Read this thing with me. Come on. The most optimum time for the body to rest is when the sun is no longer shining. Ideally, a person would rest and sleep when the sun goes down and arise when the sun goes up. This natural cycle, however, most people's lifestyles do not allow this. Therefore, they are resting and sleeping at not optimal times. Put the next part up there. Each week, I got to hold my peace now, Lord. Come on. Now they found out, Dr. Rogers. Oh, help me. Read. Each week, a lunar cycle occurs at sundown every Friday, ending at sundown every Saturday. This period is absolutely the most ideal time for the body to recharge and rejuvenate. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I told you, it's in the day. It's in the day. Just accept the rest. God's day is full of rest.
Wow.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter, sweeter than the song in celestial-like strains. It unceasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father up above. Sweep over my spirit forever, my God, I do pray. In fathomless billows, billows of God's love. Weary soul without gladness or comfort or rest, passing down the rope pathways of time. Make the Savior your friend, and the shadows will grow dark. Oh, accept of this peace, this peace so sublime. We're talking about peace, peace, wonderful, wonderful peace coming down from the Father up above. Phantomless billows, of God's love.
If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.